All right. If you have your Bibles with you, you can go ahead and turn to the book of Jeremiah. We're going to pick up where we left off this morning. This morning we began our January Bible study, which this year is in the book of Jeremiah, talking about being faithful to the mission. And this morning we looked a little bit at Jeremiah's background and talked a little bit about the fact that we all have a calling on our life in some way. And really, as you're going to find out tonight, the calling boils down to this: obedience. It was interesting after the service this morning as I was shaking hands on the way out. Mike Ivey stopped and mentioned to me, he said, you know, that was the message that I responded to 50 years ago this week, to surrender my life to the call of ministry. And I said, man, I wished I would have known that an hour ago, because he could have testified to God's faithfulness in the mission and in his calling. I thought that was just, I don't know, icing on the cake, so to speak, to what God was speaking to us this morning. I want to share that with you. So if you get a chance to talk to Mike this week, just let him know how thankful you are for his faithfulness over 50 years of preaching ministry that he has had. And hopefully it won't be too awful long before he's back in our pulpit again. And I know everyone looks forward to that. So tonight we're looking at the call. More specifically, I entitled this message, Do Not Say. We're going to pick up in verse 4 of Jeremiah chapter 1. And really what I want us to focus on tonight is simply this, that our excuses are really invalid because God is greater than our weaknesses. Our excuses really don't amount to anything, right? Because God is greater than our weaknesses. Sometimes we're reluctant to do the things that God asks us to do, those things that he calls us to do. And what I want us to seek to answer tonight is the simple question, what are the steps that we can take that will enable us to complete the mission, to be faithful to the mission? There are certain steps that we can take that will enable us to complete the mission that God desires us to do. So picking up in verse 4, it says, Now the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. Just to stop for just a second, if you have a pen with you and you like to mark in your Bibles, if you go to verse 5, just circle the word I. I formed you. I knew you. I consecrated you. I appointed you. That's going to be important here in just a few minutes. Then I said, Ah, Lord God, behold, I do not know how to speak, for I am only a youth. But the Lord said to me, Do not say, I am only a youth. For to all to whom I send you, you shall go. And whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you to deliver you. You might want to underline that, because that's going to be repeated at the end of the chapter. I am with you to deliver you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have set you this day over nations and over kingdoms to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see an almond branch. And then the Lord said to me, You have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it. The word of the Lord came to me a second time, saying, What do you see? And I said, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. And then the Lord said to me, Out of the north disaster shall be let loose upon all inhabitants of the land. For behold, I am calling all the tribes of the kingdoms of the north, declares the Lord. And they shall come, and everyone shall set his throne at the entrance of the gates of Jerusalem, against all its walls around, all around, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will declare my judgments against them, for all their evil in forsaking me. They have made offerings to other gods and have worshipped the works of their own hands. But you, dress yourself for work. You might want to underline that. Dress yourself for work. Arise and say to them everything that I command you. Do not be dismayed by them, lest I dismay you before them. And I, behold, I make you this day a fortified city, an iron pillar and bronze walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, its officials, its priests, and the people of the land. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail against you, for I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. So what steps do we need to take to be faithful to the mission? As we begin in this section of chapter 1, Jeremiah has a choice to make. See, the Lord has come to him, and the Lord had this great pronouncement that even before he was formed in the womb, he had been set apart by God to be a prophet to the nations. Well, Jeremiah was a little bit less enthusiastic about this call. He says, now wait a minute. Wait a minute, God. I don't know how to speak because I'm just a kid in the youth group. I mean, that's basically what he's saying. The word youth there in Hebrew could be like an older teenager. So we're not talking about somebody who is all that old, late teenage years, and God is calling him to be a prophet to the nation. So he says, hold up a minute. I'm not sure I can do this. I don't think I have the ability. I don't think I'm qualified to be the prophet that you have called me to be. Sometimes someone said that big moments swing on tiny hinges of obedience. And this is one of those big moments. And we need to make sure in big moments that we are being obedient. So Jeremiah had a choice. He thought he was too young. Verse 6 tells us that very plainly. He says, ah, Lord God, behold, I am only a youth. Well, he's about to learn the first lesson in his on-the-job training, because God isn't going to give him a reprieve, right? There's no excuses here. God basically comes back in a very quick way and says, do not say you're only a youth. Do not say. I mean, that's a real quick, sharp rejection of all the excuses that Jeremiah may have laid out for not doing the mission that God had called him to do. God says, do not say that, right? In other words, do not underestimate your potential. Do not underestimate your potential. The first step we have to take if we're going to be faithful is to not underestimate our potential. We don't need to underestimate who we are in God, who we are in Christ. Because the truth of the matter is, success in the mission isn't dependent upon us. Are you hearing me tonight? Success in the mission is not dependent upon us. Success comes from God's provision, not from our ability, not from our gifts, and not from our talents. It comes from God's empowerment. The truth of the matter is, people then and people now need to hear God's message. And God promised to provide the message. Notice what he did for Jeremiah in verse 7. Yes, in verse 7, he says, do not say I'm only a youth, because I'm going to send you and you're going to go. And whatever I command you, you're going to speak. You don't have to be afraid, for I am with you and I will deliver you, declares the Lord. God promised to provide a message. He promised to send him to people that he would have to speak to. I find it interesting, but later on in the book of Jeremiah, there's this portion where Jeremiah's in a tough spot, and he basically says, there's like a fire that's shut up in my bones, and I can't be quiet. That's a calling, right? That's working out of a calling, not out of your ability. God promises his presence, and God also promises his power. And then at the end of verse 8, we have this refrain, declares the Lord. In other words, God is putting the exclamation point on what he's saying. This is what I declare. He's saying to Jeremiah, Jeremiah, this is the end of the discussion. When I declare it, it is so. We should never underestimate what God can do with a person who is willing to obey. Don't ever underestimate what God can do through someone if they're just willing to be obedient. God had called Jeremiah. Remember, verse 5, I had you circle those I statements. Remember, God says this to Jeremiah, I formed you, I knew you, I consecrated you, I appointed you. Think about that for a minute. If God called him before he even formed him, don't you think that God also knew something about timing? Don't you know that God knew exactly when Jeremiah needed to receive the call? God's timing is always perfect. Sometimes we like to throw out some excuses, though. But do not say is what God says. In essence, God answered all of his objections before he even made him. I don't know if you feel the gravity of that or not, because the scripture tells me that God knit me together in my mother's womb. He formed me. He knew the number of my days, right? He is sovereign over everything. And don't you think it's just possible that if God appointed Jeremiah to be a prophet before he was even formed, that maybe God appointed you to do some things before you were formed? Do you think that's possible? That God has a plan for your life? That God has a purpose for your life? It's absolutely possible. And let me just say, it is the truth. God does have a plan for you. God has a purpose for you. And it all hinges on our obedience. Finding excuses for not accepting the purpose that God has for you can sometimes be pretty easy. But excuses are not valid reasons for disobeying God. God dwells within us. I mean, we have the promise of the Holy Spirit as New Testament believers, right? Come to faith in Christ. We receive the Holy Spirit. It's part of the package. God indwells us when we, by faith, believe in Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, God, living in us. He's within every one of us who have claimed the name of Jesus. And God, the scripture says, has not given us over to a spirit of fear, but of one of power and love and a self-control. And 1 John reminds us that he who is in us is greater than he that is in the world. So what do we have to fear? Don't underestimate what God can do through you. Don't underestimate your potential. Secondly, if we're going to be faithful to the mission, the next step we need to take is that we need to listen to God carefully. We have to listen to him carefully. Notice what he says here in verse 9 to Jeremiah. He says, then the Lord put out his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said to me. The Lord said to me. I like that. It's very personal. But in that, we have to listen to what God says to us carefully. The truth, I'm finding this out more and more, but we need to learn to listen to God. I think he knows what he's talking about. And we just need to trust more and listen to him more. Sometimes he speaks to us in a still, small voice, and sometimes he uses a loudspeaker to get our attention. He doesn't leave Jeremiah questioning what he has to do, what mission he has. He gives him the mission. Notice what he tells him here in verse 9. He says, behold, I have put, and notice this, not just any word, he put my words, right? God is putting his words in Jeremiah's mouth. See, I have set you, or I have appointed you this day over nations and over kingdoms. And then there's a bunch of two statements here, right? This is the mission, to pluck up and to break down, to destroy and to overthrow, to build and to plant. God detailed his provision for Jeremiah's mission. Like with Isaiah's call, the Lord touches his mouth. You'll remember Isaiah's call. He takes a coal from the altar and he touches Isaiah's lips with it, right? There's something about the aspect of God touching the prophet's mouth. God purified his messengers in that way so that they could speak his word truly and faithfully. While I know that seems kind of strange to us, right? But it's important to realize that we also have gifts from God, that we've been touched in a sense by God because we do have the gift of the Holy Spirit, because that grants us holiness and purity necessary to deliver God's message. Our hearts are changed because of what Christ did for us. And we can be bold in sharing the good news. God provides for us in the mission. But listen to what he says carefully. Because the content of the message that Jeremiah is going to deliver is not always good news. In fact, it's judgment. In fact, if you look at the whole book of Jeremiah as a whole, really, the main theme of Jeremiah is judgment, that God is going to pour out his judgment on these unfaithful followers, right? Because, as we just read in this chapter, because of the evil that they did, because they worshiped false gods and they worshiped the works of their hands. Well, notice what he's going to do. He's appointed to uproot, to tear down, or to pluck up and to break down. These words are more than just destructive words. It's an idea that really goes back to the commands of Moses and Joshua regarding the promised land. The people of Israel had to remove all the potential influence of the Canaanites in order to carry out the pure worship that God desired. By the time we get to Jeremiah's day, Judah itself had become so corrupt that it had to be completely scrapped and rebuilt. That's what God is saying, that it needs to be plucked up and broken down. Those who struggle with sin in their life, especially repetitive sin, know that they have to remove that temptation completely in order to survive. You have to put up walls and barriers and protections. Judah had to completely uproot and tear down its established lifestyle if there was going to be any hope for the future. That's the message that he's proclaiming. You're going to have to turn it all upside down. Everything that you're doing is an affront to a holy God. Part of Jeremiah's mission was to stage an intervention, so to speak, and help Judah come to understand what they needed to do. Notice also that he has the message to destroy and to overthrow, or to destroy and to demolish. That really speaks to warfare. It reflects the type of purging that God would use in order to restore his people, which in this case was going to be foreign invasion and war. The Babylonians would come in and they would ransack Jerusalem. They would carry God's people off to captivity. It's interesting that during the time that God is delivering this initial mission to Jeremiah, that the Babylonians, as we know them now, don't even exist. At this point, it's still the Assyrians who are the main power. And it's not going to be till a little later that an Assyrian leader breaks off from the pack, starts his own little deal, and eventually drives the Assyrian Empire into the far little corner and destroys them, and it becomes Babylon. So God is pointing out that a foreign adversary is going to come and destroy, to demolish what is there. Through God's message, Jeremiah was to warn the people that warfare and judgment were coming at the hands of the Babylonians. God's message to his people through the prophet was that a battle was coming and they would be destroyed by the hands of a foreign invader. Now, I don't know about you, but if I heard a message like that, I would probably run the messenger out of town, right? No way. It's not going to happen, right? The people of Judah were a people that had repeatedly broken their covenant with God. I mean, if they were smart, they would have looked north to their brothers and sisters in the northern kingdom. Because that's exactly what happened a century before. They were overtaken and overthrown by a foreign invader. Why? Because they had broken the covenant with God. Judah had broken that covenant. They refused to turn back to God. So, they had to be removed from their place of complacency as a punishment for their unfaithfulness. Well, that sounds great, doesn't it? We're going to pluck up and break down. We're going to destroy and we're going to overthrow. That's a wonderful message. Thankfully, the message doesn't end there. Notice the last two things here in verse 10, to build and to plant. Jeremiah's message did not end with judgment. God's message never ends with judgment. Throughout the Bible, judgment is always a means toward salvation. And the message of Jeremiah holds true to this pattern. After the destruction, there was a promise of hope to build and to plant. That's the promise that reflects a hope. Even in the midst of judgment, when everything else seemed lost, God would be working to restore his people. I guess you can imagine why God needed to remind Jeremiah that he would be with him and that he would deliver him, because he's going to be delivering a very difficult message. You know, it seems like the darkest hour is just before dawn. I don't know. I love those kind of stories that when everything seems to be descending into hopelessness, good triumphs in the end. There's an iconic scene in the second film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy, The Two Towers. The people, I don't know if you've watched The Lord of the Rings. I don't know if you read the books. Anyway, go with me on this one, okay? It's iconic. You'll have to look it up on YouTube. The people of Rohan are trapped by the fortress of Helm's Deep, and everything seems lost. They're in a valley, and their backs are against the wall. They fought hard, and a lot of their warriors have died. Defeat and death seem certain. I mean, the invading army is there, and it's overwhelming. The king of Rohan, near despair, wonders, what can men do against such reckless hate? Despite the dire outlook, one of the heroes of the story encourages the king to make one last stand against the enemy. And the king agrees, and they ride toward the battle to die in this battle against evil. And at that point, as they're riding out, when defeat seems certain, the sun crests the hill and reinforcements top the ridge, and they ride down to the king's aid. It's really a wonderful picture because the aid is, it's like a godlike figure on a white horse, and the sun crests. I mean, it's beautiful. It's iconic. Anyway. The day is saved. Evil forces are vanquished. In a way, that was the hope of Jeremiah too. The battle would come, but the battle would not be the end. God would crest the hill in all of his glory and rebuild and replant. In the end, good would triumph because God will triumph. While Jeremiah has to preach the news of the coming judgment, his message remained a point of hope because judgment is not the end with God. Salvation and restoration will come to those who remain faithful. So don't underestimate your potential. Listen to God carefully. And then lastly, we have to trust God fully. We have to trust him fully. In verses 11 and following, God presents Jeremiah with some visions, two visions in particular. And he asks the question, Jeremiah, what do you see? When God asked what Jeremiah saw, the prophet said, well, I see an almond branch is the first thing he sees. Almond trees were kind of widespread in that region. And remember, he grew up in a rural town, and he would know what he was looking at, an almond tree. The Hebrew text here, though, is really a wordplay that's lost in our English translations. So I want to try to paraphrase it for you if I can. It's kind of a pun. It's a play on words, really. Basically, Jeremiah says, I see an almond stick. And the Lord says, you have seen well because I will stick by my word. That's the gist of the play on words. The word stick or branch is very, very similar to what the Lord says about watching over his word or sticking to his word. God's promise is, I will watch over my word to accomplish it. That in, really, when discouragement for Jeremiah comes, it's a faithful reminder that God is watching over his word, that he's going to stick to his word. Then he asked him a second time in verse 13, what do you see? And Jeremiah answers, I see a boiling pot facing away from the north. So he sees a pot that's boiling. The pot rested over a fire, probably supported by stones. The flames would heat up the water, causing it to boil. He says it's facing the north, so it tips a little bit, slightly, and the contents spill over and flow in a southerly direction. Once again, God says, you've seen well, because out of the north, disaster will be let loose on all the inhabitants. God predicted that judgment would come against Judah from the north. Verse 16 reminds us that judgment came because of one thing, for all their evil in forsaking me. Judgment was coming because they had been unfaithful. The visions that Jeremiah sees here confirm the mission that God had given to him. So what does God say in verse 17? He says, get up, dress yourself for work. You got a job to do, so let's get after it. Let's get up and get going. Can I just make an aside for a moment? This morning we talked just a brief moment about the mission of our church, this body of believers that meets here at New Friendship Baptist Church. And when we talk about the mission of connecting people to Jesus, we also need to hear in the back of our heads, get up and let's get dressed for work. It takes obedience to the mission to see the mission fulfilled. I say that to say this, because it's easy sometimes for us to cheerlead the mission without putting on our work boots. We need to get ready to get to work. Arise, get dressed for work, and say to them everything that I command you. Here's the wonderful thing about trusting God fully. We can trust that his mission is true, right? It's been confirmed. Jeremiah's mission was confirmed. The great thing about trusting God fully is that he's going to always be with you. He'll be with you. That's what verse 19 reminds us, that I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. God reassures Jeremiah by reminding him that he's going to strengthen him, that he's going to protect him, that he is going to rescue him if need be, that he's going to make him a fortified city, an iron pillar, and bronze walls. They will fight against him, it says in verse 19, but they will not prevail, because I am with you, declares the Lord, to deliver you. Jesus calls us to make a choice. And it's not that different from the decision that Jeremiah had to make. Will we choose God and seek to follow his instructions no matter the cost? When faced with suffering and persecution, will we fear people more than we fear God? Jeremiah gives us hope that if we are faithful to God, he will ultimately rescue us. He will deliver us. He may not always know, we may not always know how or when or why things work the way they do, but this we can know, that God is in control and that he is worth the commitment. So the question is, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to fear more, God or man? To follow up from this morning, God is calling you. He's calling us. And he's not calling you to be a prophet for the nation, although it may happen. He's calling you to obedience. And that's the bottom line. It's not really about the call at all. It's about obedience. Everything God wanted to do with Jeremiah hinged on this one moment of obedience. Jeremiah, I've chosen you to be a prophet to the nation. I've appointed you. God, wait a minute. I don't know if I can do that. Do not say that you can't, because I am with you. Maybe God's saying that to our church. We know, God, what you want to do with us. Your word's clear. You've commissioned us to go. We know that we're supposed to be reaching people for you. We know that we're supposed to be proclaiming the good news of the gospel. And maybe we've said, God, just wait a minute. Maybe we need to hear God say, do not say. One pastor said this, obedience is a God-sized risk for a God-sized call. The opposite is true as well. Disobedience is a man-sized risk for a man-sized result. God is calling. Will you have the faith to obey? As we move to a time of prayer, if you can just bow your heads where you're at. As we think about what it means to be obedient, let's do something very simple. Just ask God what he wants you to do this week. Say, God, what do you want me to do this week? I don't know what his answer might be for you. Maybe it's as simple as taking time to spend time in prayer with him this week. Or maybe more time in his word. Maybe God's asking you to reach out to one of your neighbors. Maybe he's asking you to do something really simple and send a note of encouragement to someone that you know has been struggling. Maybe he's asking you to do something like ask a friend at school if they've ever placed their faith in Jesus. I don't know what he might be asking you to do, but ask the question, God, what do you want me to do this week? And then be honest enough with God to say, God, what has been my excuse? for not doing this before. And ask him to forgive you.